Welcome to the Words of Grace podcast. In these podcasts, we seek to clarify, amplify, and apply the Sunday sermons at Grace Community Church. From time to time, we'll also discuss other topics as we consider how to live out our faith in Christ. Our desire is that the Word of God would press into your everyday life. All right, everybody, welcome back. So glad to be back after Easter weekend. This is Josh.
And I'm Scott.
And yeah.
Post-Easter podcast.
That's right, post-Easter. It was a great weekend. We had a wonderful Good Friday service. Mm-hmm. It was very sweet. And a great celebratory Sunday morning.
Yeah.
It's always wonderful.
That's right. Cross and resurrection. Mm-hmm. The themes were put before us.
Yeah.
We didn't put them out there. They were before us. It was Good Friday and Easter.
Yeah.
But we did preach the gospel, and it was great. Great weekend.
Yeah. I love the contrast between those two services. Mm-hmm. You know, like the music is much more somber on Friday night. Mm-hmm. It's a little more contemplative. Mm-hmm. We take communion. It's a really sweet time.
And yeah.
I think that just throws such a great contrast for Sunday morning where we're celebrating the resurrection. I think that's really wonderful.
Yeah, it does. It's not meant to be manipulative.
Right.
But it is meant to reflect on the reality. Mm-hmm. So yeah, on the cross, we're singing songs about the death of Christ. Mm-hmm. And those aren't, some of those are kind of big musically, you know, orchestrated songs, but mostly they're not.
Yeah.
And then the Lord's Supper. And then, as you said, Easter Sunday, that's always big. And we started Easter Sunday with my favorite Easter song.
Yep.
Called the Easter Song.
Keith Green, yeah. Yeah, that's a classic.
Yeah.
Although I will say, I don't know that I'd ever heard that song before coming to Grace.
Oh, really?
Like the first Easter that I was here.
Yeah.
I did not know that
song. You didn't know it.
Nope. And I was like, man, this is a great song. I love this song.
You didn't know it was from the 70s.
This is old. You know, I was just like, oh, who wrote this?
Well, there is a younger your age artist, mm-hmm. Jess Ray, who,
yeah.
So in the 70s, it was the second chapter of Acts, is uh-huh. the name of a group, and Keith Green, a singer, mm-hmm. they both did that song, and they were friends. Mm-hmm. That was in the 70s. And then, yeah, and then it was many people have done it, I'm sure, but then it was redone more recently by a current artist, Jess Ray. And so many people heard it then. They probably thought, oh, she wrote a great song.
Like, no, song. No,
she, she went back to her parents' era.
That's right.
Did that song.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it was good and always fun. Like, you know, Easter weekend is a comeback home. Saw a lot of our college students who've been gone mm-hmm. since Christmas time, and it's always good to see how they're doing. See
yeah.
that they're going back to hit that final little slide before the end of the semester.
Yeah.
It's always good to see them.
Yeah, it is good.
Yeah. Well, let's spend a minute, Scott, like how should we think about a weekend like this? Like we put on these services that are very different than the normal week in, week out.
Mm-hmm.
So how should we be thinking about that, doing special services?
Yeah. I wrote a little piece in the last Words of Grace post that I did on Friday, on Good Friday morning, that addressed this a bit, and I'm glad we're talking about it again today, because I think it's important for us to think about how we as a church should think about, I guess when we say special for us, what that would mean is Christmas, Good Friday, and Easter. We don't do a lot of other special services throughout the year, but we do those. So not trying to be critical, just trying to be descriptive of the way normally we think about it is, okay, this is a special time. We are going to celebrate the birth of Jesus, then we're going to remember the death of Christ, and then we're going to celebrate the resurrection. And it's mm-hmm. about the church coming together and having a wonderful worship time, refocusing our lives on our minds on the truth, singing the songs that are familiar to us, being edified.
Yep.
And then, as you said, seeing a lot of people, more people come at those times.
Yep.
And okay, all of that is great, but I have been, I am aware that there's more to it than that.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about it, none of those services are biblically mandated.
Right.
Like the only thing that the Christians are told to do in terms of a special day is we're told to observe the Lord's Day, mm-hmm. which is Sunday, Resurrection Day.
Yeah.
So some people then would argue, then we shouldn't do Christmas services or a Good Friday or Easter. And that's okay if that's what they think. We do them. And so my thought is, well, if we're going to do them, let's do them well.
Yep.
I don't mean just production well. Let's have some purpose behind them. So all that to say is we're not mandated to do them. We are going to do them because we have the freedom to do them. But then we should think about the opportunity that we have.
Yeah.
And the opportunity that we have is not only to edify our believers, but it's evangelistic.
Yeah.
These are great evangelistic opportunities. Mm-hmm. Even Sunday, I know for certain that there were some people at our congregation, at our church on Sunday, and even Friday night, who do not know Christ. Mm-hmm. They needed to hear the gospel.
Yeah.
So it's an opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, like, I don't know what it's like in the rest of the country, but I think, like, there's enough kind of, like, cultural Christianity left in the South mm-hmm. to where people that grew up around here have at least some kind of sense that Easter is a day that you go to church. If there's a day in the year you go to church, it's Christmas and Easter probably.
That's right.
And and so I think that at least from that, some people are just going to show up.
Yeah.
But I think on top of that, as a church member, you might think of Easter as a really good day to go and invite someone to come to church on that day because it is a special day. It's like not just normal other mm-hmm. Sunday, but also like because it's so centered around the cross and the resurrection. We're going to try to do a clear gospel presentation every Sunday, right?
That's right.
Yeah, so that's always going to be there, but like it's not always center stage. You're finding your way to the gospel and to give. Bring the gospel into every passage because there's always a connection.
Right.
But in the Good Friday Easter messages, it's center stage. You don't have to find a way to it. It's just there.
Right. I mean, the titles of the sermons, you know, Friday night, what you should know about the cross or what to know about the cross. And mm-hmm. then Sunday, what to know about the resurrection.
Yeah.
So it is very, very clear texts that are very clear. Mm-hmm. You're not trying to make the connection that is the center point, as you said. And so I would encourage, how would we hope our congregation views this? Number one, I would hope that our people don't see it as just their event.
Yeah.
Like it's just what the church does and it's special for us. Mm-hmm. I would encourage our people to see it as an evangelistic opportunity.
Yeah.
That means I would encourage them to be praying, really praying leading up to these services that the Holy Spirit will use the gospel to work in people's lives and bring them to faith. Mm-hmm. I would encourage our people to bring their friends. I can promise you that at Grace Community Church on Christmas, Good Friday, Easter, we are going to talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. We're not going to do distracting things. We're not going to do things that are just designed to, you know, wow people. It's going to be well done, so people won't be embarrassed, you know, but it's going to be very clear.
Yep.
And that's a way that we work together so that when people bring their friends on these services, and every Sunday, but we're talking about these services, they know that their friends are going to hear the gospel in a way that's clear, that, is not using a lot of gimmicky type stuff.
Right.
It's going to be helpful, mm-hmm. Explained, biblical. So invite people. And then I would say a way to approach these is if you are able to invite people, follow up. I've heard numerous stories, even this weekend, of people going to lunch afterwards. And what a great time if you bring somebody just to say, tell me what you thought about that sermon.
Yeah.
Or that music. Have you ever heard of these things before? What a great entry point into having a conversation with somebody about the gospel.
Yeah.
So pray, invite people, and then follow up with them. Those are just primary ways to take full advantage. Mm-hmm. In this way, what's happening is leadership, congregation, everybody's on the same page. We can all work together and help each other out in having a moment of clear gospel preaching and conversation around these special events.
Yeah.
I think that's the way we should view it.
Yeah. I think also one thing I would throw in, like, since a lot of that is kind of the two people who may have invited someone already. So that might be to, you know, stick that one in your cap for next time when we have Christmas or Easter or something. But now that we're past this weekend, for those people who maybe didn't invite anybody this time or whoever they invited didn't show up,
yeah,
there may be people who visited over the weekend that are just sort of spiritually interested that might have been an entry point for them, and they're going to come back in subsequent weeks. And so that means in our congregation, I know, because we're a bigger sized church to a lot of people, you know, to some churches in our area, we're small, but for most people, when you grew up, like, we're a big church, you know, compared to that. And so there's this kind of weird thing where, like, when you sit and there's somebody near you, you don't know how long they've been here, and you're afraid that you're going to introduce yourself and you've already met them before or something. And so I think that keeping your eyes out for new people and being friendly to the people around you and being inquisitive about where they are, because just because they're sitting in the chairs next to you doesn't mean that they know Jesus yet. Mm-hmm. And so to make the assumption might be to miss an opportunity.
Yes. Yes. That is a great point. Let's be a welcoming congregation. I would say risk the embarrassment of introducing yourself to someone who's been here for a good while rather than not introduce yourself to someone who's here for the first Sunday.
Yeah.
And this is a regular occurrence for me. And
I was going to say, anybody that's out there listening has to know that, like, you and I and other people on staff, like, this is a thing we have to, like, risk all the time.
All the time. And I just have gotten over it. I just walk right up to people and say, tell me about you.
Yeah.
Or I say, have we met before? Mm-hmm. And I think it was either, I don't know if it was Friday or Sunday. You know, it might have been last Sunday. I can't remember. But I walk up to there's a woman sitting there by herself. I just walked up, hi, and found out it was her first Sunday at Grace, sitting all by herself. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, you know somebody now.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So welcoming, being a welcoming place for people is just exactly what you said. That's great.
Well, good. Okay. Well, we've had a great weekend. We're going to pray for fruit from that. Mm-hmm. And then this coming Sunday, Christ is still risen.
Christ is still risen indeed.
That's right. The gospel is still effective and powerful.
And you are preaching on Sunday.
That's right. I am.
Yes. Sunday. I'm not going to be at Grace on Sunday. I'll be visiting my family at her church, because her daughter, my granddaughter, is being dedicated.
That's wonderful.
At another church. But you're preaching and picking back up in Acts 13.
That's right. We're talking about the Church of Antioch and their kind of subsequent, the beginnings of Paul's first missionary journey.
Do you always feel a little whatever about saying the Church at Antioch when we live in Nashville, because Antioch's down the road?
That's right. I'm friends with the guy that's the pastor at Antioch First Baptist Church. Yeah. So it is a little funny. I think I need to text him and be like, hey, I'm preaching about your church.
Yeah, the Church at Antioch. A different Antioch, folks.
That's right. Well, we'll look forward to it. We'll see you all on Sunday.
Okay.